Hello and welcome to the first week of the Story of God series. If this is your first time tuning into the podcast, welcome. My name is Sam Parham. I'm the host for this show. I'm so glad you're here. If this is your 9th or 10th time tuning in, thank you for coming back. We appreciate you listening. Let me tell you a little bit more about this series that we're calling Story of God. One of our major goals in this series is to reinvigorate our need for Scripture in our lives and the way that we interact with it. The Bible is the story of God and His pursuit of us, and is a way that He chooses to communicate with us. But so often in the midst of our busyness and the chaos of our own lives, it's easy to let the Bible slip from our list of priorities. So, as a part of this series, we are introducing a new church-wide resource to help us keep engaged with Scripture. This resource is called Right Now Media. I'm going to link it in the show notes below if you want to check it out. Rightnowmedia.org to be exact. It is known as the Netflix of Bible study videos. There's over 15,000 videos to be exact, and as a part of this series, we're giving you access to all of them for free. Let me explain a little bit more about this. So when I go to on Netflix or I go on YouTube and I search for a video or a show to watch, sometimes I end up spending more time searching than I do actually watching because there's so much material on those platforms that it can be overwhelming to figure out. And with 15,000 videos on Right Now Media, that can be a little overwhelming to figure out as well. So what we've done is we've created a specific playlist of videos and content for Life Church Canton and specifically for the Story of God series. So if you go to rightnowmedia.org and search for Life Church Canton, that material is going to come up. There's all sorts of good stuff on this playlist, so make sure you check it out. Without further ado, here is week one of the Story of God series from Pastor Nathan McWhorter called The Story. Enjoy.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am excited that you are here today. Did all of you just come in from the block party? Raise your hand if you were just at the block party. Praise Jesus. We had sun. We prayed really hard, but it never usually works, so this is great. I'm glad that you guys are here so much because we are starting a brand new series. But before we get to that, in line with this brand new series, we actually have a gift for every single one of you, only for this service. All the other services lose out. That's what I'm going to tell them too. I'm just kidding. We're all getting it. So if you had a bulletin, could you pull out your bulletin in a second and open it up? There's an orange card in there. And what this is our gift to you. And I'm going to explain what this is. This is called Right Now Media. Right Now Media is like Netflix for church. It is full of over 10,000 different Bible studies that normally you'd have to pay like $200 for. We want to give it to you for free. And it's exciting, yes. And some of you are just dorks and love Bible studies. But if you're the kind of person who just can't read the Bible, but you can watch TV, then this gift is for you. Exactly. How this is going to work is tomorrow at 1 p.m., we will be sending you an email with an invitation to click on the link. When you click on the link, that is your key to getting access to this content for free, to fill out your profile, and to get it all for free. The kids' content in here is phenomenal. There's stuff for men's ministry. There's stuff for women's ministry. But there's one thing that I'm really excited about as well. We are in a new series called The Story of God. And when you sign up for this, you're actually going to see a page right there that shows the different things going on. And on there is a page that says Story of God. And there are these videos we would love for you to watch on how to read the Bible. It's going to go along with this series. It's absolutely incredible. And it's our gift to you. Here's the deal. We paid for it. And if you don't use it, it's basically you wasting our money. So, which is not our money, but your money. So, do this, use this. We're going to be using it for training and some incredible things over the years. I'm excited. I've had Right Now Media as part of every church context before this. It's an incredible value. I love it. So we're in a new series called The Story of God, which is about the Bible. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written over the course of 1,000 years that tells one unified story that leads to Jesus and beyond. It's a meta-narrative. Have you heard that term before? A meta-narrative, an overarching story that gives context, meaning, and purpose to all of life. It's a story that makes everything else make sense. The Bible is an incredibly in-depth book, ranging in different styles, through different civilizations, with different languages and completely different worldviews, and it tells one story, the story of God, the story of you, the story of me. And we're going to learn in this series all of the styles, the background, the covenants, the beauty of the greatest book ever written. And I'm telling you, at the end of this, you're going to get so excited. And if you go on right now, media, and start reading that story of God and start going through that and watching it, the videos there are way better than any sermon I could ever preach. You will start to fall in love with this book because the Bible is the grand narrative of all of life. It's the grand narrative. It's the story. It's the script. It's what's happening. This story, this script, it tells you what your role is. Isn't that great? Anyone else looking just for someone to tell them what they're supposed to do sometimes? Like, they go and, you know, they have kids. They don't know what to do most of the time. Like, this is the script. Problem is, if we don't read the script, how will we know our role? I was in drama in high school, and I know that's a surprise, right? And I ended up on a stage. You know, I can't imagine how that happened. But, you know, you have to memorize your lines. You have to pay attention to what's going on. And in the moment, sometimes things happen. And once I forgot my line, and it is the most terrifying thing I have ever experienced in my life. Everyone in the cast is looking at me with these eyes saying, "You moron, say something." And then you look out in the crowd and they're all looking at you and no one knows what's going on. And you think it's 4 seconds, you know, like it's actually just 4 seconds, but it feels like 4 minutes to you. And I had this feeling where like the blood drained out of my face and I got clearer than I normally am, just like real white. You know, that's a joke. And I had adrenaline go through my veins and like the prickly feeling. You guys know what I'm talking about, where your fingers prickle because the adrenaline goes through. And I remembered my line and I was just like, oh, thank goodness. I said it and then I walked off the set. I felt completely overwhelmed because I didn't know my line. Have you ever been there? Can you imagine that? See, when I do weddings, we do the vow section, and it's always repeat after me. You know why? Because they forget their lines constantly. I have seen someone forget their own name. I, George, your name is Steve. Steve. Just seriously, I'm not kidding. That wasn't their actual names. I protected it for their sake. Completely overwhelmed. Imagine trying to walk onto a set and not even knowing the script. See, but most of us haven't read the script. We don't know our lines. I'm convinced this world is completely overwhelmed most of the time because we don't know the script. Do you guys know who Matthew McConaughey is? He sells Lincolns. He's constantly losing his shirt. And he's a guy who says, "All right, all right, all right." Well, there's a situation where everything wasn't all right. This is a quote from him. He's talking about how he felt he understood a character so well for this movie a couple years ago. I'll just read it, what he did. Only Matthew McConaughey could do this. He says, "So I said, I'm not going to read the script. Just tell me the character. Tell me the situation. I'll show up and I'll just react and do what I would do." So I show up on the set. We're about to do the first scene. And I said, "You know what? Since I know my man, you know what? I'll just have a quick peek at this script. I'll just look at the sides and see what's going on." So I pick it up. And the first scene I had was a 4-page monologue in Spanish. I don't know Spanish. He says, "Give me 10 minutes. I'm like, "Yeah, right. Okay." You have that feeling, right? 1/3 of Americans have never read the Bible. 1/3 of those who do read the Bible only look at it when they need to. 1/4 of those who do read it only read suggestions made by others. And 17% that do read it flip it open to wherever it opens and starts reading. So I thought we'd have some fun here. You guys want to have some fun? Let me just open this up for you, okay? Let's go. Old Testament. Anyone like the Old Testament? Oh, good. There's some nerds out here. The rest of you are like, "What's the Old Testament?" All right, let's go see here. Okay. "Get out of here, Baldy," they said to him. "Get out of here, Baldy." okay? He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. Oh, that's in there. That's in there. Let's try the New Testament, right? New Testament is crazy. Let's go to a gospel. That makes sense, right? Let's go to a gospel. Nothing crazy can be in there. All right, what do we got here? Okay, a young man was following him. Great. Wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. Getting weirder. And they seized him. This isn't going to end well. And he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. So we got a bear killing a bunch of mouthy boys. And our first streaker in history. That's how we read the Bible. 17% of us that read. Good for you. Less than 20% of Americans have read the entire Bible. 20%. So 20% have read the script, but only once. Most of them have only read it once. That's like an actor only reading the script once. As they were researching this, one of the researchers said, most Americans don't know firsthand the overall story of the Bible because they rarely pick it up. Even among worship attendees, less than half read the Bible daily. The only time most Americans hear the Bible is when someone else is reading it to them. This series is about changing this. It's about changing this completely. About removing the barriers to experiencing the story of God. About knowing it. So what gets in the way of us reading the Bible? What gets in the way? Top four reasons we don't read the Word of God. Number one, not having enough time. Surprise, surprise. This one is overarchingly the biggest reasons people don't read the Bible. They don't have enough time. The second one is they lack motivation and discipline. The third is they feel intimidated by the Bible. And in a distant fourth, they struggle to apply the Bible to everyday life. Overwhelmingly, number one is the reason we don't read the Bible. Oh, it also doesn't help that Americans don't read anymore. Did you know that only the fourth of Americans have not read a book or even a sentence in a book in the last year? That's a lot of people. Someone in there like, that's me. Do comics count? We'll count them just because, man, at least you're reading something, right? Like, we don't read. So do Americans want to read the Bible at all? Like, do they really want to? Maybe it's something we don't want to do. Actually, 60% of Americans, even those who don't believe, want to read the Bible more. The researcher says it should not come as a surprise that the majority of Americans wish to read the scripture more than they do. We have consistently seen in our research that even with skepticism on the rise, Americans still hold the Bible in high regard. Americans want to be inspired by the Bible. The way we view it, it's interesting. 75% of Americans desire to work out more and want to eat healthier. And only 60% want to read the Bible more. But it's kind of like reading the Bible is something that Americans aspire to do. Like putting in a deck, exercising, learning a new language, a new sport, taking up a new hobby. It's something we aspire to do. Aspire is to direct one's hopes or ambitions towards achieving something. Look, we love Avengers, right? Anyone seen Avengers? Anyone? Yeah, that's just really good. We love Avengers. Who likes Thor? Yep. Oh, four? Okay. Men, who wants to look like Thor? Yeah, I do. You're crazy. That man's a handsome man. Yeah, we want to look like Thor. We want to look like a superhero, but we don't want to go to the gym, right? We aspire to look like Thor, but we don't want to go to the gym. And I wonder if we love our pastors because they have taken the Word of God and already done the heavy lifting for us. I wonder. I wonder if that's why we like going to church, because we don't have to do the hard work and read the Bible. It's just a thought. My question is, what if we have made the Word of God simply aspirational? Something we think we should do, that we should want to do. What if we've made it more inspirational, aspirational? What if the Bible, the Word of God, has only become useful on Instagram posts about sunrises and sunsets and avocado toast? I want a mug, right? Shows how much I love the Bible. It's just going to say on it, Hebrews. Yeah. That's lame. That is a lame joke. Or that mat that you walk in someone's house that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wipe your dirty feet." Or let's not talk about an entire group of handbags, the 31 handbags, right? What if the word of God has only become a slogan for Steph Curry's Under Armour brand? "I can do all things." I got that shirt. They cut out the other part that says, "Through Christ who strengthens me." For some reason, that got off the shirt. But I don't care, Steph Curry, if I wear your shirt, if I wear your shoes, if I do everything, I'm not hitting threes like you. I cannot do all things. Maybe it's only been inspiration. Maybe we've only aspired to read the Bible. How often do you read the Bible? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me. Just think about it. Because right now, biblical literacy is at an all-time low. We love God. We see that we understand God's love for us. We love you, God. But we've never read his love letter to us. Can we really say that? If we love someone, will we just only read parts of what they've said to us? Isaiah 55:10, scripture I want to read for you, talks to us about the purpose of the Word of God. And it starts off like this: "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." Stop. What he's talking about here is the entire sustenance process. Rain comes down from heaven and it makes the ground moist so that things can grow. We all understand that right now in Michigan because everyone lives in a swamp land. Like, it's just rain and water. That's what he's talking about. What it does is it allows things to grow. Seed to grow so that we can make bread. He's talking about the circle of life, how we're able to be sustained. He's saying rain has a purpose. And he continues on. "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The word of God has a purpose. This is the word of God. It has a purpose. And like rain, it falls on us to give us the key to nourishment and to life. He sent the rain, and it's in our hand. It's designed to make a difference, to change things. It's designed to be something more. The Bible is the chosen instrument to provide sustenance to God's people. So my question to you, is the Bible optional or essential to you? Is it optional or is it essential to you, to me? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. What if we've made the words of God unnecessary, of no impact, of no consequence? Have we treated the Bible like the user agreement we scroll through to get through to the app we want to use? Have we made the user agreement of God unnecessary and treated it as such, instead of the key to understanding all of life and family and business and purpose, as the great grand story of God and our role in it? Job 23 talks about that when we're tested by life and it puts us through the grinder and it burns us down, that he will come forward as gold. Why? Because he kept to the commands of God's mouth. He haven't strayed away from what he has said. And then he compares it to something beautiful. He says, "I have treasured the words of your mouth, God, more than my daily bread." What do you care more about than the bread of life? We aspire to read it, but rarely do we see it as sustenance essential to life. I'm going to tell you the two, according to research, the two greatest reasons people start to read the Bible more. The first one, they realize that reading the Bible was essential to their faith journey. The second reason was because tragedy or difficult experiences caused them to go to the Bible searching for an answer. And I would pray for you right now, my heart for you in this series, why we've been doing this, is that you would not wait until tragedy comes that you would not wait to build a foundation so that you can weather the storm that will come in your life, that you would not wait to get into the Word of God until you are floundering, but that you would realize it is essential to your faith journey. What if reading Scripture was something you couldn't live without? What if it was something you couldn't live without? Psalms, beautiful book. Talks in the very beginning, and it lays out the foundation. It says, look, we're going to have all of these beautiful songs and this beautiful imagery, and we're going to help you understand who God is. But you need to know something at the very beginning, and so we're going to tell you right at the beginning. In Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now listen. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. It's beautiful. Let's break this down. Delight in the law of the Lord. Do we understand that the greatest being in the world has a word for us? We love quotes from famous people and celebrities and politicians and writers and authors, don't we? Like Twain and Lewis and James Emery White and Maya Angelou. They are inspiring to us. We love them, these authors. We love hearing the wisdom that comes from us. But the author of every sunrise and every sunset has talked to you, has spoken to you, and we ignore his words. Do you delight? Do you dwell? Do you rest in the word of God? Do you tuck it away in your heart? Do you look forward to your time with him in his word? Do you? The second thing it says in this is meditates on his law day and night. Meditates on his law day and night. Do you consider the reasoning and the rules and the impact and the heart behind it? Why did he say to honor your mother and father? Why? What does honor mean? How do I do this? See, most of us do a devotional. A lot of us do devotionals once in a while. But a devotional you only do in the morning isn't actually devotion. Let me explain. A devotional you do in the morning and then it stops there and you go on with your day isn't actually a devotion. Because devotion is something that you put all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul into. It's something that you can't get off your mind or out of your head. And devoting 10 minutes to the Word of God without it changing the way you think is not devotion. I don't know what it is. Do you dwell on the letters, the turns of phrase? Do you look in this and see the parallels that are happening? Do you see, oh my gosh, I remember how they were talking about that in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's talking to all these people who grew up this way. And oh my gosh, did you see the connections? Do you meditate on it day and night? It says that the Word of God is alive and active. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword that it divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Can you really say that you've been meditating on the Word of God if it doesn't hurt? I don't know. I get so excited about this because this has changed my life. And it has changed generations before. The Word of God should hurt a little bit. What does it say next? It says this. It says, that person, the person who does this, be that person. What would it take to be that person who dwells on it, who meditates on it, to change, to remove the things that get in the way? What would it look like to be that person? What are they like? They're like a tree planted by streams of water. I love this picture. I love trees. Trees are one of my favorite things, just the beauty of it, how they can move in the storm, and no matter what happens, they can do all right if they are healthy. The shade, the life that it provides, even sometimes fruit trees are amazing. I was in Sacramento the other day, and it's so different over there. Do you guys know that? In California, it's a little different than here. But it's called the City of Trees. The City of Trees. And when you're walking down the street, you realize that there are literal fruit trees just on the street, like the curb. Here's the curb. Here's a fruit tree, oranges hanging there. Sign on the bottom says, take what you want. I'm like walking by, grabbing oranges off the tree. This is a weird place, California. But there's the sustenance here. I love this picture. Trees planted by streams of water. A tree planted by streams of water always has a source. And as rain falls from heaven, a stream serves the same purpose. That sustenance is near at hand. It has all it needs in the dry season and the plenty seasons. Where are you planted? Where have your roots gone down deep? Are they in the Word of God? Have they grown into them? Are you planted? Are you? Because if you are, things change. Well, if you are, it yields its fruit in season. When the time is right, it produces the harvest that's necessary and appropriate for that season of life. And for many of us, we don't have the harvest we need in that season of life because we haven't planted our roots into the Word of God. So you understand that a teenager doesn't need you to invest when they're a teenager and their hormones have made them into morons. He needed you to invest years ago and to shepherd him through that. We understand this. Why don't we do this to yield our fruit in season? Scripture reading takes time and focus, says a researcher. Two of the things that feel like scarcity in today's fast-paced and on-demand culture, like exercise, like diet. Regular Bible reading does not offer instant payoff. It's a discipline whose rewards are reaped over the long haul. The author of this book is begging his listener to hear the truth and to sow the Word of God into their life, to find out their role in the story. Are you listening, church? It says this next, whose leaf does not wither. Are you withering? Are you wilting? Are you finding yourself lacking the energy? When do you know it's time to remove a tree, right? Most of us remove a tree when it doesn't, like, produce anything anymore. No, it's just dead husk. We wait until it's all done. But a good orchard, he knows that he's got to do that beforehand. And as soon as it stops bearing any fruit, not just leaves, but fruit, it becomes useless, he removes it. And I wonder if not many of us are becoming pretty useless because we're wilting and withering away. The words of God's mouth are essential to sustain our very ability to live. But here's the promise. Listen, church, listen. This is why. This is what I want for you. I want this so much for you. Because it says this, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers for those who have planted their life into the law of God. The story of what it looks like to have something prosper. What does it look like to have a life that is yielded to God? Script. It's peace in the midst of the storm. It's the single mother with the abusive ex-cop husband whose faith is unshakable because she has sought the Lord and he answered her and he delivered her from all of her fears. It looks like the man who will no longer fall to pornography because he has learned to strike a blow to his body and make it his slave so that after he has preached to others, he will not be disqualified for the prize. It looks like that young person who's taking on their greatest fear because they have said no. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's the one struggling to feel worthy, who understands for the first time what it means when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And they realize they are loved. What it looks like to prosper is it looks like Jesus, who went out into the desert, into the wilderness to be tested. And he was told, create bread from these rocks. Feed yourself. You've been starving for 40 days. You can do it. Feed yourself. Turn these things into bread. And he says, man will not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Without God's word, we will not prosper. Without God's word, we will not prosper. We will lose our place in the story, and we will miss church. A series is about learning to dive into the words of God. And I know it's hard. I know there are barriers. I know there are things that are going to get in the way. But I also know that the number one reason people will continue to grow in reading the Bible is when they realize that this is essential to their faith journey. This is essential. The word of God has fallen like rain and been given to us. Will we receive it? Will we read it? Will we grow? Will you commit to reading the word of God with me this series? Will you commit to being in his word every day? And if you're struggling, will you commit to sign on to Right Now Media to interact with our Story of God playlist and dive into the word of God and read and listen and download it on your phone? Will you listen to the word of God? Will you do something? Will you get into it? What would happen to this church if we became the people of the book, the people of the word of God, the people who have stored it in their hearts so much that it's changing the way they speak because they actually know the script for once? What would that be like? Listen, the more often Americans attend church, last quote, the more likely they are to read the Bible daily. 39% of those who attend worship services at least once a month read a little bit every day, while only 13% of those who attend services less than once a month pick up the Bible daily. Being here drastically increases the chances that you will read the Word of God. I encourage you to get into His Word for yourself. As we finish, for some of you, maybe you're realizing for the very first time that you haven't known the script. But when I talked about Jesus and how much he loves you, something changed in your heart. And so I want to give you an opportunity to join us in this grand narrative, this story of God together. And for you to be saved and changed and rescued and made alive, and for you to be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season and doesn't wither and doesn't die and doesn't get knocked over by life. And there's only one thing necessary to know Jesus. So will you stand with me? As we finish, right now I want to give people an opportunity to commit or recommit their lives to Jesus. And so if you want to make that decision, pay attention. Just focus in for a moment. And I encourage you to do this, to pray with me, and you'll pray out loud or in your heart, however you want to, make the words your own. It's not a magical formula. It's just talking to God. I pray that when we pray in just a moment that you would make this a statement of your commitment to become planted in the greatest story of all time. Let's close our eyes. Bow our heads. For some of you, even as we pray, you just need to open your hands. Receive the rain of God. God, for those who want to make a commitment today, I pray that they would repeat after me in their own words, out loud or in their heart, and they would say this: God, I am broken. God, I'm hurting. God, I've done wrong. But I believe that you want to make it right. I believe that Jesus, he was sent for me. He was sent so that I could have a fresh start. And so I want to follow him. I want to hear the words of your mouth. I want to follow your ways. Make me clean. Make me new. And I will follow you the rest of my days.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you want to find out more information about Life Church Canton or other churches in the Life Church Network, you can go to lifechurchcanton.org or fill out the form linked in the show notes below, and someone from the church will reach out to you with more information. If you came to Life Church for the first time this past weekend, we would love to know about it. We believe that life isn't meant to be lived in isolation, but we want to connect with you and learn to live like Jesus in community together. If you want to email the show, you can do that at podcast@lifechurchcanton.org. You can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're enjoying it, please share it with a friend and leave us a review. Once again, my name is Sam Parham, and you've been listening to the Life Church Canton podcast. Have a great week, everybody.